calling for shepherds, my son, to go out and gather my sheep into my fold, that I might have a time of rejoicing for my son to receive my people. But my son, except you hear my call and come before me and dedicate the earth to me, your talents, your gifts, and the callings I've given to you, truly, my son, I cannot bless. I cannot send those that will not come under my jurisdiction. I cannot send those that will not be obedient to my calling. I cannot send the ones that have not believed my word. I cannot send those that will not accept the challenge that I'm putting before my church from day to day. And from time to time, I'm calling my son, withhold not from me the talents that I have bestowed upon you, because I have no one to send except you go. I have no one that I can put my hand on except you put your vessel in my hand, that I might look into it and see if there's anything unclean, that I might rebuke it and cast it out as you come before me in confession and repentance of the things that you have done. So, my son, dedicate to me anew this day your spirit, your mind, and your body, that you might be a chosen vessel, elect, and called out. Because I'm desirous, my son, to send out from this group of people a mighty upsurge of my spirit to take this message of faith and deliverance and healing in this last time. At your mouth, because I have need, my son, to pray to speak my word. Many have fallen away, my son, and I have brought my wrath against them, because they have fallen away once having tasted the truth and known my word. Yet they have fallen away because their hearts are faint and because they are fear of man more than they fear me. So again I say to you, my son, look up and rejoice and call mightily unto me. Search my word and pray, and I will witness to you to many people, and I will make you a blessing. I will bless you as you go. I will bless you as you come. I will bless your household. Your very name will be looked up to you, because you will be called of me, and I will confirm my word with the signs that are applying my truth everywhere. It thus saith the Lord.
This is kind of a surprise to me. I wasn't supposed to be here today, but tonight's communion night, and I thought I would drop down this morning, and I called Brother Neville, and he said, well, now, if you're coming down, said, why not just speak for us a little bit? And I thought, well, if I did come down and it was possible, I would not be preaching, but would just like to talk to the church a little while on matters that, you know, that I think would strengthen the church.
Amen.
We have just returned from our fall hunting trip, the brothers and I here, and we had a glorious time. We're very grateful, all of us filled up and got our game that we were hunting for, and our pastor and I know that venison's very, very good. And so we had some fine deer. And I got a bear and two deer. And we come back, and this is supposed to be the time that I'm to speak on those seven last seals. And they didn't get the church ready. And there's something hindrance that's caused it, that I think the city's given us a rough way because of not adequate parking room for the amount of people that the church will hold. We want a new church put up here, and we've got a good part of the money already designated and to make a bigger church. But when we have these services, why, you understand what it is. It's such a pitiful thing that people are around the walls out in the rain, and it's just awful. And even criticism comes from friends of mine. Said, Brother Branham, looks like the doctor friend of mine. Said, look like you could get someplace. That I feel sorry. Said, passed by a nurse next door to me. Said, well, I come by there one morning at 5 o'clock. You're supposed to be there. And said, the people are already gathering around that church down there. 5 o'clock in the morning, you'd be there at 9:30. So, see, and it makes it hard. And we want a church that's got some room and where everybody can sit down. And we think we're living in the last days. Believe that where the we should be teaching the church of these things that are shaping up. The things that's been prophesied, some of them thousands of years. And for at least 25 and 30 years right from this church that's been prophesied would come to pass. And now we have it.
Amen.
Coming right to pass.
Amen.
So we ought to be renewing these things, but we don't have adequate room. So this morning, I'd making my calls and things yesterday, and I got some more to make this afternoon and so forth. And then I had some people that wanted to come in, a lovely young fellow that's just a nervous break, a minister brother in the field, and several like that, and a brother from Norway. And we had little interviews back in the back room, and I said, well, now we just step out. And Brother Neville said, well, we come out and say a few words to strengthen the church a little.
Yeah,
one of the first things that I want to say, I wrote down some things here on paper that when I come to the church, I wanted to say one thing I had wrote here was concerning the passing of our gracious brother Taylor while we were gone. Brother Taylor had been coming to this church for years and years. All of us knew him, I'm sure. But if there'd be some strangers here, it was that precious old gentleman that always found you a seat to sit down. Brother Taylor. Last time I saw him now, until I'd see him a young man, he was standing at the door about three or four Sundays ago. He said, I'd like to have some books, Brother Branham. I'd like to distribute these books. So we understand he had diabetes and went into a coma, and not knowing he had the diabetes, he died. He never died. He just went to be with the Lord Jesus. And he was a faithful, wonderful brother, always mindful of other people. And his delight was to try to find somebody a place to sit down when they come to church. And you know, maybe when we cross over the bar, wouldn't it be nice to see Brother Taylor there?
Amen.
Find us a place to sit down.
Amen.
On the other side. I think in commemoration of Brother Taylor, I wasn't here to speak it with Brother Neville at his funeral, but I wanted to say a word of my appreciations. If his widow, Sister Taylor, I suppose, is here somewhere this morning. Bless her loyal heart. Brother Taylor, one day he said, come up and see me. I got a little lake dug up there. I put some fish in it, so you come up and fish. Always mindful of somebody else. And there was somebody that was mindful of him. That was Christ to give him salvation. And I think in commemoration yet for this church as together as a body this morning, let us stand together. Bow our heads before God. Our Heavenly Father, we as human beings this morning and the comers to this place of worship, Thy great hand has moved among us and taken from us one of our precious brothers who we love and know that Thou did love him. And you had a reason for all this, Lord, or it would not have happened in this way, knowing that our Bible tells us that all things work together for good to them that love God, and that He did. And we look around in the world and we find the nature in every way speaking to us that the grave cannot hold Him. For on earth He served the purpose that you sent Him here to do. He was a good, loyal brother. We find that in the life of botany life and in the life of the sun that rises of a morning to give us light. And in the middle of the day it becomes middle age and in the evening it dies again. Only to rise again the next morning fresh and new. Because it served God's purpose. We see the flowers as they bloom and beautify the earth and decorate the funeral halls and the wedding places and serves a purpose, opening up its heart and giving out freely honey to the bee and perfume to the passer. Beauty to the seeker gives all it has in a service for God. Then it bows its little head, but when spring comes around, it rises again because it served God's purpose. Then in the face of all nature and the Bible, the promise, and the Holy Spirit, we can gladly rejoice in our heart to know that our brother Taylor likewise, Lord, served God's purpose. And to say that he would not rise again would be to deny our Bible, our God, and all things that God has given us to look at to know that there is a resurrection. So we are looking forward to the time when we shall see him again, when he is young and healthy and never to more to be sick or get old. Bless his precious wife, that loyal companion of his. How that we will miss them long, Lord, as we see them going together out to the pond and sitting on the little benches out there fishing and talking, and how they were real sweethearts together. And now we know that there is the great day coming when the heroes of faith will march under the great ark of triumph, and the angels with anthems will fill the air. We'll see them again in that place. Until then, Lord, give us courage. Bless us and help us. We'll long miss Brother Taylor and everyone who comes to this church. Why, we stand at the door and find a place for the comer to hear the Word of God to sit down in ease and rest. And the other day when he passed over, Lord, I prayed that the great archangel of God stood there at the door to find him a place too, Lord. He could sit down, for it is written in the Bible, the merciful shall obtain mercy. Until we see him, Lord, may the memories continue sweet in our hearts until someday when we meet again in the other land. Through Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. He will be long missed among us, and amidst strangers and so forth that come to our church or our building here to worship. May his soul rest in peace before God till that day. Someday, too, each one of us will go one by one till we drop down along the line like that. Let us now, while we have time and can, let's prepare ourselves for that time coming. For we don't know when it will be. We don't know who will be next. Let us live so that each day, that if it should ever come, it will be for us, we'll be ready. Now I would like to make an announcement. Now soon, perhaps, maybe, I haven't talked with the trustees since coming back concerning the condition of building the church here, or what we have to do next. Getting our church so we can have our meeting. Then I will continue on, pardon me, with the seven seals and then these seven vials and many things yet that we should be getting into right away. And now, next Sunday morning, there I am to be at Elizabethtown, Kentucky, with Brother L.G. Hoover to a dedicational service. And that's to dedicate a new tabernacle, or a tabernacle that they have bought at Elizabethtown, Kentucky, right down 62 till you come to Elizabethtown, or right down, 31, or down the turnpike. Just at the turnoff, takes you to Elizabethtown. It's about an hour. It's about 35, 40 miles down there. I think about 40 miles by the way of 31, about 35 miles or something the other way, or down the turnpike. It's on Mulberry Street. The dedicational service, Brother Hoover will have the regular Sunday school at 10 o'clock, and I'm going to preach the dedicational service from 11 until 12. This next coming Sunday, November the 11th. On the bulletin board out there is the news item of it, and it'll be you can find your way from right there. It's on Mulberry Street, or they give the directions it's on the bulletin board out there in the front of the church. Then on November the 22nd, I'm to be at Shreveport, Louisiana, of the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th. 5 days, I think, at Shreveport, Louisiana, at Life Tabernacle. That's with Brother Moore. They are celebrating their Golden Jubilee. The Pentecostal blessing fell in Shreveport, Louisiana, 50 years ago, the 22nd of this month. 50 years, the first Pentecostal message was preached and fell, the Holy Ghost fell in Louisiana. And they got a memorial to that, and this is the Golden Jubilee. And I'm to speak this Jubilee 5 nights with Brother Moore at Shreveport. Life Tabernacle. If you got any friends in and around there, why, that you want to write to or something, we'd be glad to have them out. And just tell them about the meetings coming up. And the Life Tabernacle is, anybody's ever been there with Brother Moore? He's a wonderful man, and there's a wonderful bunch of people, those old Southerners, you just can't hardly beat them. And the Life Tabernacle, anyone around Shreveport can tell you where it's at. Shreveport's about 200,000 people, and it's a nice city and plenty of accommodations. The tabernacle is a large tabernacle, very large tabernacle. It's got upstairs and balconies and main floors and then a floor beyond that, and there's just plenty of room. And right straight across from the city auditorium, it seats 5,000. It's like crossing the street here to the city auditorium. And Reverend Jack T. Moore are either the Life Tabernacle at Shreveport, Louisiana. That begins on the 22nd, Thursday through Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 4 days instead of five, I'm sorry. That'd be the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 25th. I think that's the way it is, of November. And then we'll find out then what about what we've done about the church here, to find out how the church has progressed about getting its building. The contractors tell us they can put enough man on it. For about 10 days, they can almost have it so we can go under it, see, right quick. And they're just waiting for the city to sign, you know, and we have to have so much parking space and so much this. And, ooh, my, it's a bunch of red tape to get into to start building anything. But I would like to get to the church before I get back to the field again. I got a call to Tanganyika, Uganda, and through there, Joseph has the meeting set up to begin in February. And yesterday, when I come in, there's some brothers and sister Toms, and them from overseas, had come in and had found a note laying on my door, or an invitation from an association down in South Africa. So I'm riding into them to find out just what can be done. Maybe while I'm that far, I can drop on down in South Africa, maybe in the last part of February and March, along in that time. And we hope to get the church up so I can get these church ages in before the winter sets in, if possible. If it don't, or when I have to come back from over there, if the Lord Jesus tarries. I was listening yesterday when I was taking, I believe it was the day before yesterday, of a tape. I thought I heard it playing out here this morning. Some little Southern brother had, his mother had come into the meeting. She had a malignancy on her breast, and she was shattered to death. And the Holy Spirit, in one of the recent meetings at the Southern Pines, I believe it was, or somewhere, told her, said about her malignancy and who she was and where she come from, and said she had a boy that was a backslider, and he was going to have an accident and be for manslaughter and a whole lot of things like that. And this fella, it all happened just the way in her malignant cancer, or malignant growth rather, left her, which is malignant growth is a cancer, you know. So then it left her, and the boy was up for manslaughter and everything just the way the Holy Spirit said it, and he was led to Christ. back again. And he made a tape of it. And I heard it playing. Did you enjoy that little old Southern talk? Said down here in North Carolina, he said. Oh, I just love that. Them old Southern people. And the Lord just blessed him on. He said, I know you say you don't preach doctrine, Brother Branham, only to your congregation. He said, we're part of your congregation. So that was right cute in him to say that. And now, there is a picture, I think maybe it's on the bulletin board this morning. If it's not, Billy, I'll put it on there. Many times it's been said, when I first started speaking, that they said, you just imagine, Brother Branham, that you see that light, there's probably hardly, there might be some left here, the old timers that remembers back before the pictures was ever taken of it. Is there any here that remembers me saying that way long time ago? Look, just about four or five hands. Sister Spencer here, and brother, Sister Slaughter, and brother here, and brother over there. It's just about five or six of the old timers left. Now, after a while, the mechanical eye of that camera caught that picture. So it went to Washington, D.C., and went through the examiners and come back, double exposure, nothing. Said the light struck the lens. That's George J. Lacey. You got his name signed. Well, then, many times you hear, look out and say, there is a dark shadow over this person. It's shadowed to death. How many's heard me say it many times? See, many times. Well, it happened to be that the camera caught that. And so we got that here. A lady that come to a sister and had told her in the meeting in Carolina, where we had such a wonderful meeting at Southern Pines. And there, the lady was dying with cancer on both breasts. And the doctors, they give her up to die. And the lady just reached down and took her picture, just as I told her who she was and where she come from. And I said, there is a dark shadow over you. You're shadowed to death. And the lady just snaps the picture of this. And there it is on the mechanical eye of the camera, gets the shadow of death. Have any of y'all seen the Ten Commandments and saw the death angel, how it swept in that dark, gloomy-looking shadow? It's on this picture. And I think it's on the bulletin board now. If it's not, Billy can hear me while having put it on the bulletin board. And it's got the arrow pointing to the person. And the person, the shadow left the woman and was miraculously healed. But there is like a hood of dark smoke gathered around and hooded over the lady and hanging off on that cancer, like that coming from that. Of course, that's the shadow where death is pouring in to her, from the cancer. Well, no matter how much you try to tell people truth, there's somebody going to be suspicious that it isn't truth.
Yeah.
And if you always tell the truth, then you know you're right. I have a friend that's a rancher up in the West, and the conservation paid about $4,000 for a snowmobile to count the herd of elk that was left back over off the Troublesome Valley. Mr. Jeffries, who said you're in the church, led him to Christ, a complete infidel. And you've heard me tell the story of us riding together, and he didn't believe in nothing but the ethics of Darwin, and that baby born was nonsense. And we camped the other night right where he accepted Christ. And so then this man told him, he said, now, you don't have to buy that automobile, that snowmobile. He said, I'll tell you exactly how many elk's up there. He said, he's 19. He said, there was 21, and I killed two of them. And he's talking to the game warden. You're not supposed to kill but one. So he said, there was 21, and I killed two of them, leaves 19. And he said, yes, Jeff, I know you killed two of them. He said, I did. Well, they took the snowmobile and went up there, and there's 19 head of elk. He said, Billy, just tell a man the truth. He won't believe it. Well, that's just about the way it is. You can tell people the truth, and yet there's been so much misunderstanding and lying about things until they don't believe that you're telling the truth when you're telling them the truth, you see. But we're so thankful that we have a Heavenly Father who confirms that truth with a confirmation.
Amen.
It's truth. So then, if this shall be my last day on earth, even the scientific research and proofs has proved that I have told the truth about these things.
Amen.
That's right. It's true. So it'll probably be on the bulletin board. Billy, are you in the room there? You got it in your hand? The picture? If you have, well, bring it out here, and then you can set it up here, and it'll probably sit. Well, I don't know, there'll be a light on the board. And here is the picture right here. I guess you can't see it, but right here you can see that hooded shadow of death over that woman's head. And here is the write-up about it back here where the lady took the picture, and to see if it actually showed, and there it is. On there, it hit the hooded shadow of death. You've seen it, I guess.
Yeah.
So, Billy will probably put it on the bulletin board, if you will, Billy. Come get it and take it around the front and put it on the board so everybody can see it as they go out here, or Doc, either one. Now, I thought maybe it could show plain enough that you could see it, but there's too much dark for that type of picture. But he'll have it out there so he can see it as it goes out. Now, remember all the announcements. And now, this morning, I thought maybe that we would speak a little bit on something to encourage the church. Something that would give you a more... What's that? Yes, Doc, if you will. It might be good. I want to use this shirt. I had some of them didn't have it to put on for last week, so we thought maybe that it would give a little better for today. I wanted to talk on it because it pertained to a dream a sister had. I wonder if Sister Shepherd is in the church this morning. I met her the other night, and the first time I'd seen the woman, actually, I didn't even know who she was. Is she? I guess she's not. Yes. Would you mind, would it be anything out of the way if I referred to that dream, Sister Shepherd? You wouldn't mind, would you? All right, all right. And before we approach that, let's bow our heads now again. Gracious Heavenly Father, to Thee we give praise for all Thy goodness and mercy. And now quieten us down, Lord, that we might study the Word of the living God. As it comes to us through vision and is confirmed by the Holy Spirit, backed up by the Bible. So we pray that you'll give us understanding that we might know what to do in these last days as we see the evil powers settling around us now. The battle, the final battle, is just about to be fought. Help us, Lord, as real warriors, strong. Let us keep the shield of faith up with the Word of God, the sword, and move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, thinking of moving forward, a battle, like a battle set in array, ready to go into action, a real battle to fight. The fight of faith. Sister Shepherd here and Brother Shepherd, who are very gracious friends of ours and who come to this tabernacle. And they are a precious children of God. And
Amen.
And this Sister Shepherd, when I was picking up my mail, the kind that Billy can answer, just somebody say, send me so many prayer calls, and I pray with them. He just answers them back. But when it's an individual letter, I have to answer it myself, you see. So I picked up my individual mail. And so I was taking it home, and I was reading in there, it said, from Sister Shepherd. And it was a dream that she had had some months ago. And she never could get it just right until two or three Sundays ago when I taught on this seven church ages and the seven fruits, Second Peter, how it takes to Second Peter 1 to add to our faith. See, first foundationally is faith. Second, add to your faith virtue. To your virtue of knowledge. From knowledge, temperance. From temperance, patience. The patience, godliness. And from godliness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness. And then love being the capstone. Seven of those things. Seven church ages. See? And seven stars of the church ages. And all of it is tempered together by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what it takes to become a servant of Christ. Christ built His church in seven church ages, His bride. A person, woman, church. Seven church ages constitute and make the bride. Some out of this age, and some out of that age, and some out of that age, and all together. And shaping it like a pyramid. Like Enoch, who built the pyramids that we believe, and the capstone never was put on top of them because the headstone was rejected. And we take it out not as doctrine, but as to understand, just for the church here, that these, God makes Himself perfect in three. He makes Himself perfect in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three offices of one God. He makes Himself perfect in justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come perfect, works of grace. He makes Himself perfected in three comings. First time to redeem His bride. Second time to receive His bride. Third time in the millennium with His bride. And everything is perfected in threes, and seven is the worship number of God. God is worshipped in seven. Completed. Now, perfected and completed. And the strange thing was, not to bring this in, but just to show you, the last deer that I got had 5 points on one side and three on the other. See, grace and perfection. Now, notice on this that Christ, God wrote three Bibles. The first Bible was in the sky called the Zodiac. Now, if you don't know the book of Job, just forget about it. All because Job is the one who explains it. How that he looked up and he named those things in the sky. And notice, in the Zodiac, what did it start off with? The first thing in the Zodiac is the Virgin. The last thing in the Zodiac is Leo the Lion. The first coming of Christ through the Virgin. The second coming, Leo the Lion. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Then Enoch completed in his day, or back in that day, a pyramid. And it was, of course, you haven't got time to background it and show how that pyramid come up through the chambers and so forth. This speaks right straight to the end time now. They're in the king's chamber now by the measurements. But the headstone never was put on the pyramid. And that's such perfect architecture or masonry until even the little thin razor blade. They don't know how they ever built it. Don't understand. Could ever a razor blade slice along the sides where that mortar should be, and there's no mortar in it. It's just perfected, put together. So that's what it is when Christ and the church becomes one. There's no martyr between, there's nothing between, just God and the person. God, Christ, and the person. Now, but the headstone, they've never found it. You know the stone of Scrone they have in England to ordain the kings or to crown them and so forth. But the headstone, notice on the American dollar bill, you'll see if on the American dollar bill, on the one side, the left side, is the American seal, an eagle with the spears in his hand. On the second side, this is called the seal of the United States. But on the next side is the pyramid. And above it, a great eye. And under here it says, the great seal. Why would it be the great seal in this nation? Even above the seal of our nation. See, no matter what you ever do, God makes us speak just the same. See? He makes the sinner speak of it. He makes the nation speak of it. Everything has to speak of Him, whether you want to believe it or not. It's right there. Now, notice there's an eye in that, the eye of God. And because that the cap didn't come off the head seal because it was rejected, which was the Son of God. The cornerstone of the building. The head seal of the pyramid. And all this. Now, I don't like to... Sometimes they hate these things, and it gets out amongst brethren in churches, of other churches. And when they do that, then the brethren sometimes gets a wrong impression that I'm saying something about brethren, but I'm not. If you could just listen and understand,
amen.
See, I am not speaking against any brother, because that's not becoming to brethren to speak against
amen.
Each other. We should speak for one another, not against each other. But when I speak sometimes of certain organization, like Presbyterian Methodist or so forth, they say, see, he's against it. I'm not against the brother in there or the sister in there. The system that's separating brotherhood is what I speak against. God's children are one family and not different groups. And somebody say, I have nothing to do with it because that's Presbyterian and I'm Methodist. See? Now that isn't... See, it's the system of that organization that breaks up that brotherhood. See? Now that, like I said, if you were going down the river in an old shaggy-looking boat that's going to try to make the falls, and I know that isn't going to work, well then, I'm not screaming or rebuking you, I'm trying to get you out of that boat. See? Because it's the boat that's going to break up, and you'll be left sitting alone in the water. So it's not the brother in the boat, but I'm hollering at the brother to show him what's fixing to happen. Well, all these systems that man has made in their achievement has got to break up. That's all.
Amen.
We have to come to unity, to brotherhood. That's been my purpose of life, is to try to unite and not break up an organization, but let them drop their ideas and be brothers to every born-again Christian.
Amen.
That's the idea. That's where I've stood. Well, now, if the brother would notice it, many of our brethren, even in our full gospel rank, they do not believe that the Baptists and Methodists and the Lutheran and them have a chance. But now, they may be right. But I don't agree with that. I believe that the age here of the Lutheran age, in this age here, which was called, I believe, the Sardis age, and then the Philadelphian age for the Methodists, and then the Pentecostal Laodicean age, I believe those are ages, and God, in each one of those ages, took an elected people. And in that, as Hebrews 11 says, that them without us is not made perfect.
Amen.
See? But now the church has come from this, coming in a minority all the time, till it's down into the Pentecostal age. Now the reason I'm saying this, that you might get an idea on what the sister dreamed. And her dream is certainly comparison to what I've been teaching. Notice. Now all these things that 1 Peter, the 6th and 7th verse tells you, from by your faith, that's first. Now I say that people claim to have these virtues without even being born again. And I believe I made a rude remark and says, like a blackbird trying to put peacock feathers in himself and make himself a peacock, he can't do it. There has to be a natural feather growth from him. The inside of him has to put that feather out. And I've always been accused of being hard on our sisters about wearing bobbed hair and manicure all over their face and stuff. I've always been accused of being hard on our sisters. It is that I got anything against that. I don't say the woman isn't a good woman, that she's some street walker or something. That isn't my attitude. But it's this. When she puts so much artificial on the outside, shows there's a lot of artificial on the inside. See? We're ought to be filled up with Christ, because the outside always expresses what's on the inside. By their fruits you know them, you see? And where Christ ought to be in there, and the cure for the God, and the cure for other things, instead of so much artificial pomp and, you know, green eyelids and unhuman looking and all that kind of stuff. I just don't go for it. And I don't believe the Bible does either. So I like to be just what we are.
Notice.
Now, if she hasn't got any fingernails and wants to put some on, if she hasn't got any teeth and needs some, haven't got an arm and you need one, haven't got hair and you need some, you haven't got these things, that's different. But when you pull out your real good teeth because they're just not as bright as you should be, then you done wrong.
Amen.
If you've got red hair and you want black and you go down here and color it black just because, you done wrong. Yeah, I think so. But the main thing, there's no scripture for that. Only to bob your hair, there's scripture for that.
Yeah.
There's plenty of that. So then, we want to be sure that's right. Now our sister in dreaming, she dreamed that first she was disturbed. What's the use of going on and trying to struggle through life if God requires us to receive the Holy Ghost and we don't have it? Now, I don't think they may be taping this, but if they do, it's for the church alone. See? Now, if some brother would get a hold of this, and you hear my voice, brother, on this, remember, I'm just teaching to my church. You always, before your congregation, examine the tapes, and if you don't want your congregation to hear them, don't let them hear them. But I'm just trying to say to this a little group here that as Brother Neville and I, by the Holy Spirit, is trying to pastor. And to teach them. Now, some of these things you might miserably disagree with. So if there is, just like I always said about eating fried chicken, when you hit the bone, you don't throw the chicken away, you just throw the bone away. So always do that. Eating cherry pie, you run into a seed, you wouldn't throw the pie away, you just throw the seed away. So you do the same thing in listening to this. Now, I believe that if the reason that there's so much confusion today about the Holy Spirit is not correctly taught. I believe that the baptism is taught, and just say the baptism, but then the, like you say, automobile. But now, I've got several mechanics in this church, and I don't know one thing about it. So if I make a mistake, brethren, remember, I'm not a mechanic. There has to be coils and plugs and points and valves and everything else that makes the automobile. And when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot goes with that. See? There's a lot goes with that. And here's what I think that God is proving the Holy Spirit is here. See? Now, Peter said, first, faith. Now, watch it real close. Now, we're going to teach this for a few minutes. Faith. Now, is your first. And add to your faith, virtue. To your virtue, knowledge. To your knowledge, temperance. To your temper, patience. To your patience, godliness. To your godliness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness. And then love. And anyone knows that love is God.
Amen.
God is love.
Amen.
See? Now, that then from this, and then bringing this into the seven church ages, God is building in seven church ages a bride for Christ.
Amen.
Through the Philadelphian, Thyatira, and Pergamus, and Samaria, and Ephesus, a church age that Jesus said, if the bridegroom come in the first watch or the seventh watch.
Amen.
All these virgins awakened. They woke. The virgins of Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamus, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Did you notice that? It was the seventh age that when he came and woke up those sleeping virgins. That brings them all the way back down to here. See? For in this, through the years, ages, he has built a bride. Born a bride. Begotten a bride on earth for Christ. And the same way that he begets this bride, he has begot individuals. Now, I'm backgrounding this so that you will see when the sister's dream is being told. Now, these things here absolutely must be in the Christian before the Holy Ghost ever seals them. Before this comes down on top and makes a complete unit. Now, our sister, three now, she was worried whether she had the Holy Ghost or not. When she laid down across the duopole where her husband was reading a paper, and she's got little ones as I have, and they're always making a noise and things. And so in this, she fell asleep for approximately 10 minutes or 15, and she dreamed, and she never could understand it or get it all together from a year ago almost until this message was taught. Then while I was teaching, it all come back to her. And she dreamed that she was praying. She's walking the floor first before she dreamed, and wringing her hands and thinking, "Lord, have I got the Holy Ghost? Can you prove to me?" Some says because that I shouted, or some said because I spoke with tongues. We believe in all that. But have I really got it? I believe in all those things, those virtues. Speaking in tongues and shouting and all kinds of demonstrations. I believe in every bit of it. But if it's there without this, there's something wrong. You got a shell. Notice. And she was worried about it, so she just laid down across the duopole where her husband was reading, and she went to sleep, and she dreamed she is up on a mountain. And in this mountain, the best, I haven't got the paper before me, but I think it's like this. She dreamed that she saw a rock box, like a framework, sitting right on top of this mountain. And her husband was just behind her. And she saw a large man standing there with work clothes on, sleeves rolled up, bailing the most pure water that she ever seen and pouring into this box. This rock box sitting on top of the mountain. And the rock box would not hold the water. And it rolled right out of there, and it's boiled up all the trash and sticks and everything in there, and boiled it out and rolled down the mountain. And it rolled over her feet, and she was standing right in that stuff. Only it didn't stick to her. And then she asked why the box didn't hold it, and the man said, "That is not water. That's the Holy Ghost." And said, "Nothing will hold it." And said, then he went back and got another big bucket, and it was full of honey. And poured the honey into there, said, "Now it'll hold this." And she thought that the box was, a rock box was going to burst out and spill the honey. But it didn't. It finally stuck together and held it. She turned and went down the mountain. Going down the mountain, she stopped at the bottom of the mountain and looked back. She saw five streams of this pure crystal water. Not contaminated by the things that it went through, still pure and clear, coming swiftly. Then it slowed up. Then almost fading out. And she was wondering, would it ever reach the bottom of the mountain, five streams, and she woke up. I think that's just about close to being right, isn't it, Sister Shepherd? Now, no more than I picked up the letter and opened it, before I read it, I saw her dream. That's the way dreams are interpreted. Now, many of you come to me with dreams and say things to me about dreams. I say, "Wait a minute, you never told it all." See? And go back and pick it up. Then, if you can't tell what you dreamed, how you know the interpretation's right or not? See? You've got to see the dream. A vision has to show the dream. And when you see the dream that the person dreamed, then can tell them before they tell you. Then you know the interpretation. Well, I believe that's in the Scripture also. Daniel one time, was that right?
Amen.
Said, "Yeah, I believe I just happened to think of that then." See? But you always see the dream. Now, if the interpretation's right, the person starts telling you a dream, you can stop them and say, "Wait a minute, and it was so-and-so, plus so-and-so, plus so-and-so." And then you say, "That's exactly right." See? A man the other day was trying to tell me a dream that he dreamed. He said, "Well," he said, I said, "Now, brother, why did you leave out that other part?" He said, "What other part?" I said, "You dreamed that you threw a rock up in the air and I shot it and got some mine." He said, "That's exactly the truth, Brother Branham." And they just picked the last part of it out yesterday. So there you are. See, why you don't tell the truth of it, but you see, it always reveals back what tells you your dream, what you dreamed. Then you know it's right. Now, here's the interpretation of her dream. She was bothered about the Holy Spirit. Now, insomuch as she seen the box on top of the mountain was the rock. Rock box is rock confession. Now, like Jesus said in the Scripture, he said, Peter said, Jesus said, who does man say I, the Son of Man, am? One said, thou art Elias, Moses, and so forth. And he said, but who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, some people say, now the Catholic Church says, the Roman Catholic Church says, that what the rock was that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They said it was upon Peter. And Peter was that rock, because Peter means little stone. Now, on this little stone I'll build my church. And upon Peter, apostolic succession, they built the church. Then the Protestant church says that's wrong. That it was upon himself he built the church. Now, not to be disagreeable, but to my way of seeing it, it's both wrong. Because he never built it upon Peter, neither did he build it upon himself, but it's upon Peter's revelation of who he was. See? Who does man say, I, the Son of Man, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God? Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, some seminary. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed to you. Thou art Peter, upon this rock of confession, upon this revelation, I'll build my church. And that's been each church age has had that rock confession on up to this rock confession of the Laodicea. And now, you cannot make a holy church. There's no such a thing as a holy church or holy organization. The Holy Spirit can be preached in it, but in there you find good and bad, renegades, indifferent, and everything else. So an organization will not hold. You can't say, we got it. None of the rest of them has it. No, sir. The Holy Spirit is poured out on individuals. It's the individual. So therefore, the rock, this Latter-day Pentecostal church, which has received the Holy Spirit, they did at the first, all down through the ages, they received the Holy Spirit, but not in the measure that they have it now, because it's a restoration of the first, as we take the candlestick, Alpha and Omega, how they lift the first candle, it went higher and higher, and got dimmer and dimmer, and then come back again, see? First and last, and so forth. Now, but in this church age, the message is being poured into the church, but the church body itself, in all together, like this tabernacle, we'll say. That's where she comes to church. This tabernacle is not a Holy Ghost tabernacle. There's no such a thing. Individuals that come into this church is Holy Ghost tabernacle. They are tabernacles that contain the Holy Ghost, but not the church and the body of group. Therefore, it runs out. But what this man who was pouring the water, the messenger to the church, pouring the message into the church, but what was the water doing? It was boiling out all the trash that was in it. That's what the Holy Spirit does, boils it up. Now the honey represented brotherly love, brotherly kindness, which is this age. I just got through telling you. See? A brotherly kindness, the age that we live in now. Now, you might say, look, I sure don't like Brother Neville. I sure don't like Brother Jones. I don't like Brother so-and-so. And something like that. But just let something happen to him. Brother, your heart's broke. He just nearly killed you. See? We can obtain brotherly kindness and feeling for one another. See? But to maintain in a group of people, why do you care for that, brother? Because you broke bread with him here at the altar, as you will tonight. Amen. You fellowship with him. You shook his hands. You worship with him. He's your brother. And he might do something in the flesh that you would disagree with, cause you just kind of stale, what you oughtn't to do, but shun him a little. But in the bottom of your heart, if something happened to that brother, it would just nearly kill you. Or that sister. I'm an old man. I was once young and now I'm old. I've seen it down to the age do that. Hear people say, oh, I just won't have no more to do with him. And something happened to that man, it nearly kills him. He thinks, oh, God, I'll let my precious brother go without making friends with him and see again. See, it's brotherly love. It looks like it won't stick, but it does stick. The honey, it sticks. Now, insomuch that she come from there down the hill.
to the bottom of the hill. Now this glorious water was gushing over the hills in five streams. Now five is the number of grace. JESUSFAITHGRACE. See, five is the number of grace. Five streams was pouring from up here at the trough down to here. Each one of these ages had that rock confession. The saints are sleeping, waiting, 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 see, on to this age. But soon the Holy Ghost being poured out from Christ will come and will seal up the church. Then the church will be raptured. It'll be a complete unit of God, a bride for Christ, who will be the head of all things. You follow me now? Now she was wondering, now in her dream, she was wondering, would this little stream ever get to the bottom? See? It was drying up. Now, being that she herself, now here's what I want you to get to now. She herself was wondering about her own self. Did she have the Holy Ghost? Now, I shunned saying this a few days ago, thinking that the church would be spiritual enough to catch it. And maybe I better turn this tape off right now, but because I don't want to get out amongst the brethren. But you could speak with tongues, you could shout, you could dance, you could cast out devils, do anything you want to, and still not have the Holy Ghost. Didn't them disciples come back rejoicing and shouting because the devils were subject unto them, and Jesus right among them was Judas? Did not Jesus say in that day when he comes that many will come to me and say, Lord, have not I cast out devils and in your name done mighty works? And I'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I didn't know you. Those things are not indications of the Holy Spirit. By their fruit you shall know them. Now, you say, Brother Bram, should we speak with tongues? Absolutely. That's gifts of God. But those gifts of God without these virtues in them, it makes a stumbling block to the unbeliever. It's not accepted by God. This has to be first. And when you have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly love, then the Holy Ghost comes down and seals you as a unit. As same as he seals the church ages as a unit. The way he makes his bride is the way he makes his individual. Made out of the same material, like Eve was made out of Adam, a rib from the sun. Here is the thing that you have to have first. You can't impersonate them. You can't imitate them. They've got to be God-sent and God-born. Amen. Imitation only causes confusion. It's like I said, could you imagine seeing a buzzard sitting there with a dove feather stuck in his wings? They say, I'm a dove. He's not a dove, he's a buzzard. Vulture. Could you imagine a blackbird with a peacock feather in his wings and say, see, that's something he's stuck in. But it has to come from the inside out and produces Christianity. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our sister had her feet wet when she got to the bottom. All of us know Sister Shepherd to be a charitable. Her house is open. Her and brother, I don't care if it's a bum beggar or whatever it is, they'll feed him, do anything they can to help him along. Oh, God accepted that. Her foundation part. And here's, now, get this lesson. Here is what's wrong with the, I can turn over this. Here's what's wrong with the Branham Tabernacle. You see, there is two different kinds of faith. There's two different kinds of virtue. As I had the other day, two different kinds of knowledge, two different kinds of temperance. One thinks it's probation. You got, that ain't the kind of temperance that God's talking about. That ungodly, uncontrollable temper you got in things of that side. That's back foot. Patience and so forth. There's a mockery of it, a pretending to be a nature-given faith, a nature-given virtue. There's a nature-given temperance. All these things. A nature given. And the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the Word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. But if this coming from above,
yeah.
Oh, brother, if it ever strikes this, there is a godly spiritual faith.
Amen.
Then, what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the Word.
Amen.
No matter what anything else says, it only recognizes the Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And the Word is still God.
Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And when the Word itself is pouring into our faith,
yeah.
Our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation.
Yeah.
And upon this foundation, I'll build my church.
Amen.
Not upon a mental conception of church joining, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation when them streams of grace has poured into that mental faith that you've got. That upon this is spiritual revelation. I'll build my church.
And the gates of hell can't prevail against it.
Heaven, see? That shows they would be against it, but it'll never prevail. Oh, what a glorious thing. Now, see, the faith, these five streams, I had a piece of chalk here, but I guess he never brought it out. But the five streams, you see, coming down through here, tempers this together. It's been the Holy Spirit that made the Ephesus church.
Amen.
It was the Holy Spirit that birthed the Samaritan church.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit that gave the Pergamos church and the Thyatira church in the Dark Ages. It's the Holy Spirit that's built that rock. The elect is pulled out of all the organization systems down through the ages like that. There's an elected, a predestinated bride of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit has called out the elect. And it's been the Holy Ghost that on to the top.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. And now, as in the individuals, these virtues and things, or knowledge and temperance, is added to our faith, then when the capstone comes, the Holy Spirit cements it together.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's
Amen.
So short today.
Praise God.
Let me see here. I got some text wrote down here. Let's see. I had a picture drawn here for her dream. You can't see it from there. Now, coming from the Holy Spirit, what has come? Then He will give to you supernatural faith, spiritual faith, that here at the bottom. Then that spiritual faith recognizes only the Word.
Amen.
No matter what anybody else says, they don't do no good. That only knows the Word. But somebody say the days of miracles is past. That faith only knows the Word. Somebody says there's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That faith only knows the Word. That's real spiritual faith, you see. That's right. See, it only knows the Word. Man, that was number one. Number one, coming to you, your mental faith, right here, comes the Holy Spirit, coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith, and the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. Now, number three, then you'll have spiritual, you'll have the Holy Spirit, and will seal all these things into you as that Holy Spirit covers this. From your faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you in with Christ.
Amen.
Then you become
Hallelujah.
One.
Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Get the thing on
my
way.
Hallelujah.
In your arms.
Yeah.
You become one. See, you and Christ.
Amen.
Live together.
Hallelujah.
At that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me.
Praise God.
Then that's a sealed unit of the Lord God. Now, and then they are vindicated and placed, when that time takes place, they become vindicated sons and daughters of God.
Hallelujah.
Do you remember over in the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, the 1st to the 5th verse, Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. You've heard me. Hear ye him, the sermon I just heard about a year ago preached, become so popular. Hear ye him. The placing of a son. In Ephesians 1:5, also God has predestinated us unto adoption of sons. See, a family, when a son is born into it, it's a son man. But that son had tutors to raise it. And if that son never did come to the be the right kind of a son, he never become heir. But if he was the right son, and the son that would obey his father, then that son was adopted or placed positionally. He'd become heir of what the father had.
Amen.
And that's what God was doing on Mount Transfiguration when he took his own son after he'd been proven to be the right son. See, and stood all temptations. He took him up on Mount Transfiguration and overshadowed him. You know, in the Old Testament, they took a son, dressed him in a nice, pretty garment, and set him out before the public, and they had a ceremony of placing, or we call it adopting. In Galatians, there, I think Paul refers to it as adopting son.
Yes.
Now, but placing a son, ministers will understand, and spiritual Bible readers. A placing this son. In other words, the son was the son when he was born. That's where our Pentecostal people made their mistake. Being born into the family by the Holy Ghost, that's right. But then we must be the right kind of children tutored by the right tutor.
Amen.
See now, if a man back in the old age thought of his son, and he wanted him to be the right kind of son, he got the best tutor he could find, the best teacher. Because he wanted his son to come up to be like his daddy.
Amen.
See? So, he got the right tutor. Now, if a man on earth would think of the best tutor, how about God our Father?
Amen.
Now, he never got bishops and cardinals and priests. He got the Holy Ghost to be our tutor.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is our teacher.
Amen.
And he's in the church. And he takes message to the Father. And then, what if the Father, the tutor, come up and said, well, Father, now, he ain't going to get some kind of a tutor that wants a straw in his hat, you know, a feather, we call it. Say, oh, if I tell the father something about that little boy, he's a renegade anyhow, but if I tell the father might give me a raise. That ain't the right kind of a tutor. The right kind of a tutor is honest. Tell the truth, and the Holy Ghost tells the truth when he comes before God to us. Yeah. So he comes up, what do you think he'd blush today to say, your daughters are all cutting their hair? He told him not to.
Amen.
Your sons are so organized minded, they just simply can't see one to the other. And, that's the thing. And they're adopting this for this and this for that. How he must blush. But how that tutor would love to come and say, oh my, that son's a real son. He's just like the father. Oh, how he'd love to say that, see. Then the father swells out in pride and says, this is my son. That's exactly what God did on Mount Transfiguration.
Amen.
Notice that appeared Moses and Elijah. And Peter, all excited, the supernatural is done. Peter got excited. He said, let's build three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. While he was yet speaking, God shut him up.
Amen.
He said, this is my beloved son.
Amen.
Whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. See, God put himself in the background, and this is my son. Moses represents the law. The prophets represent his justice. We could not live by his law. We could not live by his justice.
Amen.
I don't ask justice. I want mercy.
Amen.
Not justice.
Yes.
I can't keep his law. And I can't meet his justice. But I need his mercy.
Amen.
And God said, the law and justice has been met in him. He's my beloved son. Carry him. That's him. That's the one. Now in the Old Testament, when that son was adopted, or placed into the family, his name was just as good on the check as his daddy's was.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. They didn't have a... They had a ring then. They had a sign, signet. And they'd spit on it, place it. That was a signet. That was just as... He wore his daddy's ring. His signet. And that was just as good as his daddy's.
Amen.
Now, when Jesus had been obedient, Jesus to God, God placed him positionally. This is him. Now when the member is born by the Holy Ghost into the family of God and is proven to have these virtues in him, that God can see virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, and godliness in him, then God seals him or places him.
Amen.
There, that's when you see the sons and daughters of God. Then Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of your redemption." Now, some of you Baptists said, "Won't you go on eternal security?" Now, if you come to that stage, I'll stand with you in eternal security, if you'll come to that place. But just to say anybody says, "I'm going to join the Baptist church. I'm a Presbyterian. I got eternal security." That's wrong. Your own life proves you haven't got it until this is there. And God has adopted you and sealed you by the Holy Ghost into His kingdom. Then there's no getting out of it. You are eternally secured. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby all you and your godly virtues are sealed until the day of redemption. I believe there is a bride that's predestinated. I believe God said He would have a church without spot or wrinkle. I believe in predestination, that the bride is predestinated. She's got to be there. I hope I'm with her. See, I'm with her. Now it's up to me to work out my own salvation with God until these things are approved of God and then sealed into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
There's the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
There's the genuine works of God. It's sealed into the day of redemption. That was her dream. I thought it was beautiful. Now, therefore, when she does that, when the church comes to this place, or the individual, the church is going to be there.
Amen.
Let me say it real good so you get it. The church is predestinated to be there.
Amen.
I want to be with it.
Amen.
But the only way I'll be with it is to be part of it.
Amen.
Amen.
How do I become part of it? By being in it. How do I get in it? By baptism. By one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body.
Amen.
One body. Baptized into it. But you can't stick these little things and say, "I spoke with tongues. I got it." You go out here and angry and swear and carry on.
Lord,
that's right. Putting peacock feathers in a jaybird. See? You can't do it. Your own life proves that it's not. But when these things are operating in you by God, then you're sealed. Then there's no put on about it. You're just yourself.
Hallelujah.
That's when visions, perfect, Holy Spirit, works of God, everything is made manifest. Because why? You and Christ become one.
Amen.
I hope that's understood. You and Christ become one. I had something else I had wrote down here I wanted to think of. Brings us to the place of life. Then you become, have eternal life. Now I've got the Greek lexicon here. The emphatic diglot. I studied the other day on a word. Now in John 3:16, we find one place that says, "have everlasting life." Another place that says, "have eternal life." But in the Greek version, in the Hebrew, it says, "life without end." In the Greek word, has A-I-N-I-O-A-N. Almost like aeon. Aeon is a space that can't be, it's a number that can't be numbered. It's beyond millions, trillions, billions. But this is aeonian of time. Eternal life. And the English word for it is eternal. We know it is eternal. Aeonian, our life without end.
Amen.
See? And if you've got life without end, how can you perish?
Amen.
You have become a part of the eternal. And there's only one thing eternal. Satan's not eternal.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
He becomes Satan. Hell is not eternal.
Amen.
Hell was created.
Amen.
It's not eternal. And these bodies are not eternal.
Amen.
They were created. But the Spirit of God is eternal.
Amen.
It never had a beginning or it never has an end. And the only way we can have eternal life, from that Greek word zoe, which means God's own life, we become a part of God when we become sons and daughters of God, and we have aeonian life.
Amen.
So the part that lives us that recognizes this word from here to there, that recognizes is aeonian life. Life without end is God's
Amen.
Own life in us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The other day on the trip I had a discussion. The Jehovah Witness. Now, no disregard to anybody's belief. We got plenty of them converts sitting here from Jehovah Witness. One of our trustees of the Church of Jehovah Witness was, and was saved, him and his family. His father was a reader. Brother Woods and that. All of his brothers and sisters now. About all of them's come in and received the Holy Ghost. Because of the visions of God, tell them what they did and what they see, had done it. Now, but here, Jehovah Witness, in their a book, it says that the breath that you breathe is the soul. Now, that cannot be right. The breath that you breathe is not soul. If it is, you're one time you're one kind of soul, next time you're somebody else's, breathe that soul, look where you'd be. Now, the breath is wind. And wind is what you breathe into your nostrils. Now, they take the scripture from back, and God breathed breath into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. Now, I want to ask you something. If he was a man, what kind of a breath was he breathing before God breathed his breath of life into him?
Yes, amen.
See? What kind of breath is a breathing living man? Well, then, if that be so, then every animal is a living soul. Because they breathe a human soul and our soul and all together, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. The animal sacrifice would have been sufficient.
That's right. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
See, so brother, the argument don't stand. But what God did, he breathed the breath of eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Then he becomes
lots of it.
A living soul.
Amen.
A soul that can't die.
Now,
watch now. We're going to get into honey plum to your elbows.
Amen.
Look, breathe the breath of eternal life into his nostrils. And he became an eternal soul.
Oh, hallelujah.
Because God breathed, not what nature done, but what God did. Breathe the breath of life into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. Then you say to me, Adam died, Brother Branham. But remember, before Adam died, he had a lamb that redeemed him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Those who he foreknew, he has called for.
Amen.
Got a lamb to redeem him. He was a type. Adam fell. Then the lamb was provided for Adam because already in his nostrils had become the breath of the eternal God, and he became a living soul. He was a son of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Not his breath is the African word. I don't know what the Greek word is for it right now, but the African word is called amaria, which means the wind, an unseen force. Animals breathe amaria. Sinners breathe amaria. Then why would we struggle for eternal life if that's the eternal soul breathed into us by breath? Why would we struggle for eternal life? It backfires, brother. See, it just can't do it. But God, especially upon Adam, breathed the breath of eternal life, and he become an eternal person with God.
Amen.
He had power like God. He was an amateur God.
Amen.
He was God of the earth. Not God of heaven, now God of the earth. And someday the sons of God will again become gods. Jesus said so. Isn't it written in your law? You are gods.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Then you can call those who he called God, who God visited, how can you condemn me? He said, when I say I'm the Son of God. See? Now, we're getting into something deep. Now, watch this when we drive it down. Now, here they are. He is now a son of God, but he makes a mistake. He knows he's doing wrong. Now, remember, Adam was not deceived. The Bible said so, 1 Timothy 3. Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived within the transgression. Adam walked with Eve because it was his wife. Same as Christ, not deceived by Satan, but walked into the death with the bride.
Amen.
He went to be with the bride so he could redeem the church. Adam knew he was wrong. So he just walked out with him. See? But there was a lamb provided for them. That they were redeemed. And these lambs, today, that were foreknown by God and God is called, there is a Redeemer. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. And all the Father has given me will come to me.
Amen.
Is that right? So there is a provided lamb from the foundation of the world where their names are put on the Lamb's Book of Life. A lamb was provided to make a way of grace for everyone to go in the resurrection.
Hallelujah.
A provided lamb. Adam's lamb. Now, notice, as Adam had a provided lamb. Now, that's the church today. I don't mean the church. You know what? I don't say this to be sacrilegious, and I don't mean it to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not here to do that, as I've already explained myself. I'm here to help. But what I'm trying to do, you know what? Actually, these churches are not churches. There's only one church. These are lodges. See? They are lodges. I ain't got nothing. It's all right. But I want to prove that to you in a few minutes. That they're merely lodges. You belong to the Methodist Lodge, to the Presbyterian Lodge, or to the Pentecostal Lodge, as far as that goes. Lodges, see? You cannot see, churches are actually lodges where people with the same idea drift together. But the church is one. And you cannot join the church. You're born in it. And when you're born in it, you're a member of it. Just like my family. I've been in the Branham family for 53 years. They never asked me to join the family. Why? I don't have to join the family. I was born to Branham. And you're born in the church.
Amen.
Now, these others are lodges. Did you ever think of that? Yes, sir. One day I was mowing grass. And I was thinking about, well, the great holy Catholic Church, they call it. And I was going along like that mowing, and something stopped me just as stiff. I said, don't call that that. And I looked around. I started mowing on. Again, it stopped me. I said, don't call them that. I said, they are a lodge like others. They are not church. There's one church. See? They are members of a lodge. Because you can join a lodge. But you can't join the church. The church, you're born in it. You become a member of it by new birth. Then a member of the family, a brother or sister in it. Now, let me just read you out of the emphatic diglot here something of Revelation 17:3 and the apocalypse of the emphatic diglot here. And just watch this, how this reads and how beautiful it just compares with that. Revelation 16:17. All right? Now, let's read here just a minute. Listen to this real close. Revelation 17:3. And one of those seven angels, having seven bowls, came and spoke to me. I'm reading it out of the lexicon. Having come, I will show thee the judgment of that great whore who setteth upon many waters. And we all know that's the Vatican.
Amen.
Here we got our Sunday visitor in there from the Catholic Church telling us exactly what it is. See? And this answer to it said, but wait a minute. Said, there's been all kinds of names. Said, we make 666. I said, but just a minute. Said, your name might make 666. But I said, I don't sit on seven hills ruling the world, Lord. See? See, that's right. See? Show the judgment of the great whore. Set upon many waters. Waters, Revelation 17:15, is thickness and multitudes of people. See? With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornications, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now what? And he conducted me in the spirit into a desert. The emphatic diglot now, see? And I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet clothed beast full of blasphemous names. Now, in the King James says, full of names of blasphemy. Just a moment, now I get it. Here's that. Revelation's the third. All right. Here it is. All right. Revelation, I meant 17, not 7. 17. Now listen to the third verse.
And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy. That's the way the English give it. But the original Greek from the diglot reads it like this in Revelation 17:3. Listen. And he conducted me in the spirit into a desert, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast full of blasphemous names. That's a lot different.
Yeah.
From names of blasphemy to blasphemous names. What is it? And we now she was a mother of harlots. We all know that.
Amen.
What is it? You don't have to be. Well, that's right. That would take the Roman Catholic Church, but she's full of blasphemous names. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, all calling themselves churches of God.
Yes.
Blasphemous names. A lot of difference between names of blasphemy and blasphemous names. Call themselves a church of God, represent themselves before the world at card parties and drinking and carrying on the soup suppers and everything else and all kind of stuff. So there's only one church you're born into. It. You don't come in there until you're washed in the blood of the Lamb and sealed away by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What a difference between names of blasphemy and blasphemous names. Get it? I caught that this morning when I was reading here, coming down. Something just told me, go into your room, pick up the diglot.
Well, it's just obedience, that's all.
Yes. Walked in and I picked up Revelation 17. I thought, why do you want me to read this part? And I started reading, see, just struck it. There it is. I got a pencil and wrote it down. I said, there it is. Now they're hollering about me kicking against the organization. It's those blasphemous names that call themselves churches of God and churches of Christ and churches of Methodists and churches of... It's lodges. Not churches. One church. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is it? The mystical body of Jesus Christ in operation on earth. Made up of a member of any of these congregations that would be a member of Christ's body. You have to be born into it, not joined into it. And to join in it is blasphemous names. This woman, her power. And you see right now where they're going to take all the people who's got odd ideas about religion and send to Alaska. You see that? All of our odd beliefs. And what is it? The council. The World Council of Churches. And the Catholic has their big to-do going on in the Vatican now. Over there, where they're trying, and all these bishops and so forth, they're trying to come to an agreement to fight communism. The world fighting communism and only joining up with Catholicism. And it's just like it is today. Here we are, as I said, we're almost bankrupt. We're borrowing, spending money now on taxes that will be paid 14 years from today. That's how far we are gone. Who's got the money in the world? The Catholic Church. How would it be loaned to the United States to keep these tobacco and whiskey companies and things? Sure, they'll borrow it from when they do this. Sell their birthrights right out to the Roman Catholic Church. We consolidate.
Amen.
What, this is plain to read a newspaper? Here it is.
Amen.
See, they're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and so forth, calling themselves the Church of God, Catholic, and all that kind of stuff. Is this beast power full of blasphemous names?
Amen.
Calling yourself, I went to the hospital here not long ago to go pray for a person. I said, it's my mother. I said, we're going to have prayer for a mother. And the lady said, draw that curtain. I said, aren't you a Christian? She said, we're a Methodist. I said, thank you. I thought maybe he was a believer. And I just pulled the curtain down. So if you're not a Christian, that's different, see. But we're a Methodist. That's blaspheming. The beast. Churches. Call churches. They are not churches. Let me be sure that's on record. They are not churches. They are lodges. People join them.
Amen.
But you cannot join the church of the living God. You're born into it by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, these virtues are sealed in you by the Holy Ghost. And therefore, he that's born of God does not commit sin. Cannot. There you are. Oh, my. We just talk all day, couldn't we? The church is the mystical body of Christ, born of the breath of God.
Amen.
Did you get it?
Amen.
The church of God is born of the breath of God. God breathed breath into the nostrils spiritually of Adam, and he became a living soul. Did you know the Pentecostal, or the true Pentecostal church, is born of the breath of God?
Amen.
Let me read you something just a minute. Let me see just a minute. St. John, I believe, where I'm going to. We'll find out where the church of God is or not.
St. John, let's see, I believe that's about 16, 19, 20. All right? Here, I believe we'll have it right here. All right? Let me read you and see whether the church is born to the breath of God or not, like Adam was in the beginning. What? And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you." Watch. The Father that sent him went in. And Jesus, when he sends a disciple, he goes in. Same one sent. What? And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Church born of the breath of God.
Hallelujah.
When this statue has molded itself up there in the condition, God's breath breathes upon him, receive the Holy Ghost.
Ah.
Then you are a son of God. You can join anything you want to, but you're born into the church of the living God. Born by the breath of God. God breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost."
Oh,
there you are. Not come and giant, put your name on there and with your soup suppers and all goes with it. You join a lodge. You can join a Methodist lodge, Baptist lodge, Presbyterian lodge, Catholic lodge, or a Pentecostal lodge, anything you want to join. But you're joining a lodge. But when you become a child of God, you're born by the breath of God.
Amen.
Amen. Better leave it alone right there now. All right. God's life is also then in you. Jesus said, just a minute. Jesus said, "I am the vine. Ye are the branch." Now look, what was their fuss with Jesus? They're fussed with Jesus because he was a man making himself God.
Amen.
He was God.
Amen.
God was in Christ. See? Amen. And he told him, he said, "Hey, don't look at me. It's not me. It's my Father. And he dwells in me."
Amen.
See? Now, they was looking at that little body that was born to Mary. See? That wasn't God. That was the Son of God.
Amen.
But God was in that body. It was God. He said, "If I do not the works of my Father, then condemn me." But which one of you can condemn me of sin? Unbelief of the Word. Which word has God spoken that hasn't been fulfilled in me? Sin is unbelief. Which one of you accuse me of sin? Sin is unbelief. Show me. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works of my Father, though you can't believe me, believe the works that I do, for they testify. Otherwise, the Father's in me, testifying of himself. Because God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself.
Amen.
You get it?
Amen.
Well, now, the same life that's in the vine is also in the branch.
Amen.
How are you going to join in that?
Amen.
It can't. I've seen a tree not long ago in Brother Sherrod's yard in Arizona. It had 9 different citrus fruits on it. What was it? It was an orange tree, a navel orange. But it had a lemon, a tangerine, a tangelo, and a grapefruit. It had all kinds. And I stood and looked at that tree. And I said, "Brother Shep, you mean tell me that tree's an orange tree?" He said, "Sure." And I said, "Well, how come?" I said, "I see grapefruit here, tangerine here, tangelo here, and lemon here, and all these other fruits. How does it come?" He said, "Well, you see, they're grafted in." Oh. I said, "Well, I want to ask you something. Now, you pick this grapefruit and lemon off. Now, next year, it will what? It will come forth then with an orange out of that oil." Said, "It'll come forth with a lemon." Thank you. See, you can't do that. You can't join in. But he said, every time that tree gets a year older and puts out a new branch, it comes forth as oranges.
Amen.
If the vine itself puts out the branch. And what we try to do is be joined members into Him, and we live under the name of Christianity because we are, as it's in a common way of saying, we are the citrus fruit, the Christian church. But when the vine itself puts forth a vine, it'll be like the first vine it put forth. If the first vine it put forth, they wrote a book of Acts behind it. If it ever puts forth another one, it'll write a book of Acts behind it.
Amen.
Right. So you're only joining lodges.
Amen.
But when you're born out of the vine, you've got a fruit, that's right. You've got a fruit, but what do you do with it? You have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof.
Amen.
You deny signs. You deny wonders. You deny the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You deny speaking in tongues. You deny visions. You deny prophecies. You deny healing. And yet call yourself a name. No wonder the Holy Ghost said, a power of a groups of people full of blasphemous names.
Lord.
Sure. Calling themselves Christians with forms of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for this is the sort that leads silly women, laden with divers lust, all kinds of organization. The church is packing so much with this kind of a society and that kind of a society. What about the society of Jesus Christ? See, we have all these other things, and we've burdened the church down. Now, there you are. You never can join a church. You join a lodge. You're a member of a lodge. Of a group of people, just like a lodge. We believe in this. We have our orders. We have our secrecy and so forth. You do the same way you join a so-called church, but you cannot join church. You join the lodge of members, but not a church. For you are born into that church. And the vine itself, now, wait a minute. Watch. I'll close.
After a while.
Amen.
Look, if God tempered this bride together with that spirit,
amen,
then it tempers the individual together with that spirit.
Amen.
See, then you are born into that kingdom, and then the very life that was in this church is in that church and that. And the very life that was in the hall, the vine, Jesus is in the member.
Amen.
That He's put forth.
Amen.
Glory. With the same things that I do, the works that I do, shall you do also.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There's the true member of the body of Christ.
God.
No kind of a name tacked on to it.
Hallelujah.
The very works of that individual proves where he comes
Amen.
From.
Amen.
His life testifies what he is. Are you, what member, what body you belong to? The body of Christ. Well, where did you join it? I didn't. I was born in it. I was born in it. You don't have to tell them. They know what's happened. You just, how can you light a candle and put a bushel over it, he said. No, no. When you're born into that kingdom of God, then the life, the very life that was in Jesus, then you're interested in souls. Then you don't have to beg people to come to the altar. You don't have to beg for somebody to come seek with those that are at the altar. The things just automatically flow because it's sealed up in you.
Amen.
You are a unit of God. You're sealed with the Holy Ghost. Now, do you know what the Holy Ghost means?
Hallelujah.
It don't mean I jumped up and shouted and I had a strange feeling. That's all right. I've jumped up and shouted and had a strange feeling. I spoke in tongues. I believe the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues, sure. I've interpreted it. Yes, sir. I believe that too. But that ain't it. That is what I'm talking about. There can be a leak up here somewhere. There can be a leak here in your patience.
Yes.
If somebody smites you on one side of the face, do you turn the other? But you said that dirty hypocrite. Then there's a leak somewhere sprung. We better leave that alone. All right. But you know what I mean. Well, when you're sealed into the body of Christ, then you're spirit-filled. And you're a son of God. Oh, I wish I just had about 10 minutes to read something here. But would you bear with me?
Yes.
Another 10 minutes? I want to read something. Just a little bit. I honestly, the beans won't burn. I'll just assure you. See, if we'll just read this just for a few minutes, it's just too good to let go. I just got a couple things here that just comes on my mind that I would like to say. Let's turn to St. John, the 3rd chapter, talking about life eternal. Let's just find out what it says here about this eternal life problem. God's life. Now watch here.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came therefore to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that our teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles except God be with him. Now, them Sanhedrin courts, they recognized that he was the Son of God. They know it. Here was your ruler right here telling them. We know that your teacher comes from God because the very life of God flowing through you. We know that your teacher is not of your own, it's of God, because God's proven it. See, the life of God's flowing right through you. Now what? Jesus answered and said to him, Verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh my. Unless you join my church. Oh, see how you get it all? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth. See, right back again. See? Coming back. See? The wind blows where it listeth. Thou canst not hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and know not these things? Look at there, brother. A DD, PhD, double LD. And know not these things? Verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. We know these things. We see them. We know it. And you don't even receive our witness. Church Jarner, see? If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now listen at this here. What? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Figure that one out. You know, one time he said, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, The son of David. He said, Then why did David in the Spirit say to him, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand. How can he be his Lord and son? No man asked him anything. In Revelation he said, I am the root and the offspring of David. See? I am the vine and the branch. I'm the beginning, I was before the beginning, I was the beginning, and I was the offspring of him too. Amen. Now, here he said, No man has come down from heaven, but the Son of Man, which now is in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
A lady asked me one time a question, I said, Answer this one for me. Said, Who did Jesus pray to in the Garden of Gethsemane? I said, Who was he talking about when he said, No man has ascended to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which now is in heaven? Here he is standing right here on a housetop talking to Nicodemus and said, I'm in heaven. Is that right?
That's right.
Let's leave that till tonight. What do you say? It's getting too late. Oh, now let's just ponder over there a little while this afternoon. How do you get to church? Born. What by? The breath of God. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Spirit of the living God, breathe on me. That's my prayer. Just let the Holy Spirit breathe. Oh my, for the breath of God. What is it? Sealed away in the kingdom of God. Knowing that when I first confessed, I believe Jesus Christ. Yeah. Then to my faith I add virtue. Godly virtue. Yeah. Then to my virtue I add knowledge of the Word. To my knowledge I add temperance, self-control. I like that. My country says to thee, crown thy soul with self-control from sea to shining sea. Patience. Oh, my. Test it. Don't you worry. Satan will time for you. I'm climbing up the ladder now, see. I've added virtue, knowledge, temperance. Now I've got to add patience. I still ain't got the Holy Ghost. Now after I add patience, I add godliness. You know what that is? Like God. I add that.
Don't misbehave myself. Go like a Christian gentleman ought to. Let that not be a put on something in me. The love of God is boiling. See? Not say, boy, I could do it, but maybe I better not. It's there anyhow. It's a birth. I've been birthed into this, into this, into this, into this, into this, into this, into this. And then the love of God, Christ, comes down and seals all that up in me for certain.
Hallelujah.
And what does he do when he gives me the Holy Ghost? He sets you out in a separate place to yourself. Marks you. See? You're a different person then. You're not out of the world no more. See? You're clothed different. You're dressed different. Not this outside dress. No, no, you don't have to be odd and peculiar and collar turned around, long ceremony like. No, no. You don't do that. You dress physically like it's the spiritual dress that counts.
Amen.
The wedding garment's been put on you.
Amen.
What are you? Like Jesus. Watch, he was overshadowed and he was transfigured there before him. And his raiment shined like the sun. There he was. Jesus. God placing his own son. See? And then up come Moses. Then up come Elijah. And Peter said, you know, it's a good thing to be here. See how man get? Yeah. All the supernatural God said, let us build three tabernacles. Let's build one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. And before he got through speaking, God just shut the whole thing up. Said, this is my beloved son. In all these things that I required of Moses and put the law out by Moses, the justice by the prophets, he's met it all. Hear ye him.
Yeah.
I'll step out of the picture now. Just hear him. Just hear him. Oh, my. What a beautiful thing. Then, when we have met these qualifications and become full of the virtues of God and the things of God, then the Holy Spirit comes down and seals us into the kingdom. Don't worry. Everybody, I know you got it. You won't have to say, well, glory to God, I know I got it. I spoke with tongues. Glory to God, I know I got it. I danced in the Spirit once. You won't have to say a word about it. Everybody, I know you got it. It'll testify for itself. He'll let it be known among man. God bless you. So glad to be here with you this morning. Had this time of fellowship. Listen, our little church is small, and yet we don't have enough room for the people who come here. We are not an organization. We believe and have fellowship with every organization. You're just come here because that you want to come. And we love you, and we want every organization, every person. I believe that there's people in all them organizations are Christians. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. So therefore, we have no strings, nothing to join, nothing to do, but just be a Christian. As E. Howard Taylor, you say, we have no law but love, no book but the Bible, no creed but Christ. That's right. Come and visit with us. We're happy to. We believe the full gospel, every bit of the word. We believe just exactly the way. We don't add one thing to it, take anything away from it, add any organization stuff to it. We just leave it just the way it is. That's it. And we're always glad to receive you. You come and be with us when you can. We pray for the sick. We believe everything the Bible says to you. We are forgetting our weaknesses behind. We're pressing towards the mark of our calling. Now, one thing more. Will you permit it to be said? Day before yesterday morning, you'll notice on the board out there a vision. I had a vision. It's about 5 o'clock, as my wife back there knows, or six. I woke up. We got up to get the children ready to go to school. I just had these now and then. You all know, every one of you here, that they never fail. They are absolutely perfect. See? They never fail. And I thought that I was the happiest person I ever seen. I was standing in the sun, S-U-N, and was preaching the gospel to a large mammoth congregation. I just want to see if it's been paid. A large mammoth congregation. And they were sitting in a forest. And streaks of the sun were shining down on them. Just here and there. Getting it. Getting the word. And I'm, as usual, always too long. Too late. Preach too long. And I preach so long until the congregation become hungry for physical food. And some of them got tired. So they just got up, went out to get him some food. He started going out. I said, don't. I had two climaxes I wanted to meet. Wanted to meet in my sermon. And the Lord had given it to me. And any preacher knows when you really know it, God's given it to you. You're just burning to tell the people. And I was just a preaching, Charlie, just as hard as I could preach. Just laying it on your own, saying, all these great things. This is what God's doing. Look at this.
He discerns the thoughts of the heart.
What is it? The Word. And going like that. Oh, I wish I could remember what I was saying, what my text was. I can't think of it. See? But I was just preaching away, and I was watching myself do it. And then when I was standing there looking and watching myself preach it, and I was just preaching to who wouldn't have it. And after a bit, I raised up, you know, and I thought, glory to God. I said, look at these wonderful things. And this, that. And directly I noticed the people didn't get like it was physically hungry. And so they had enough spiritual. So they started walking away. And some of them started walking away. I thought, what's the matter with everybody? And I looked, and here's some young couples going along to my side. And I thought, I said, just a minute, friend, just a minute. You'll be back again when the evening shadows fall. I said, you'll be back again. But let me give you this first climax. Where does all these things come from that I've showed you? Where are they from? I said, here they are. They are in the Word of God. They are, thus saith the Lord, His promise. Because I said, all of you bear me record. Witness this, that my commission is stay with the Word. I said, what's the matter with all of you? Can't you understand the Word? You must understand it. And someone said, man, I'd like to have some biscuits and so on. I guess. Well, I just thought, well, glory to God. If they want biscuits, then go get them. So I turned around and thought, oh, but you know what? The shadows is going to fall after a while, right away. And I said, then tonight, when that congregation gathers in again, now I put the climax to them and told them that the things that they have seen me do is found in the Word of God. Not in some mythical book or some organization. It's found in the Word. See, every bit of it in the Word caused them commission to that. I thought, you know, they'll everyone be back tonight. So here's what I'll do. I'll background, kind of background, you know, the way I do it on these church ages and things, say what I said before. I'll background it on the Word and then this great, marvelous climax. I said, what a time it'll be. Praise be to God. And I seen myself getting real little here. That praise be to God. I seen myself fading up like that. And here I was standing there. Now, here's the interpretation thereof. Yeah. The first thing that I've done, the things that's been done has been mythical to the people, most of them. I don't mean the full gospel and saints of God, but I mean most of the people. And you never want to look at the world cosmos as a message of God. When you go and you say, like Bose said, I've always said, I had a dream years ago that the God would send me to Chicago and shake Chicago for the glory of God. I said, Joseph, he's already done it. Why? Said they hadn't shaken since Moody. I said, that I'm talking about the church. That's cannon fodder out there. That's just dust of the earth. That bunch cramming through the streets, painted Jezebels and everything. I said, that's out there. And them big old lodges and things will crumble and fall into the streets and everything. I said, he's talking about the church. The church has seen the revelation of Jesus Christ made manifest.
Amen.
And they recognize it. They may not be 15 out of Chicago. They may not be 10 in this generation. Now the whole city of Chicago will come forth. Did you ever think of that? As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man, wherein 8 souls were saved. How many come out of Sodom? See what I mean? I doubt being a handful. See? But the church itself has received the shake and they've recognized it. They know the Word. They've seen the Word when it was being materialized. And they caught it. Now, look at that for a minute. Now, and this first message, when they see it, everybody rallied for it. So, oh, glory to God. Oh, if I could say this, that, and they go right away the same way they come in, see? And now, they think, well, I don't know. Where would you join? If I don't come to this, it'll be this way, and I'll be kicked out over here, and I won't have nothing to do here. And brother sat down and said, well, what would I do if I... See there? They won't stop long enough to recognize it's the Word that God promised being manifested. See? And they walked away. But don't worry. The shadows are close at hand. See? When I returned to the field, you remember the other night of the message that he gave me back when I was laying the cornerstone? Just exactly said, do the work. Said, when you come out of this vision, read 2 Timothy 4. You know what's laying right there, the cornerstone, 33 years ago? Said, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap teachers having itching ears, turn from fable, from truth unto fable. If that hasn't been just word by word. I remember then the other night when I never did read the rest of it. The 30-something years that I preached in this tabernacle, never one time did I ever go any farther than that, and I don't know why.
I often wonder until one day I seen where Jesus picked up the scroll and began to read and read half of the prophecy and stopped and said, there in Capernaum, he said, and this day this prophecy is fulfilled. Why didn't you read the rest of it? It pertains to his second coming.
Amen.
See? And there I'd read that, not knowing, I picked up that, and there it was right before me, a southern pine, South Carolina, that morning, standing out there talking to Joseph Olsay, leaned up against the side of a car. I struck it. Paul said, all man has turned against me. There's no man with me. Demas has forsaken me, loving this present world. And I'm now looking at the coppersmith, dummy mustering. Look what Demas must have thought. Why, I've seen Paul preach the gospel and heal the sick, and here he sits suffering himself. Carrying a doctor along with him, Luke, all the time he goes. Taking a doctor with him. A man preaching about, why, I've seen him smite a man blind, said, the Lord rebuke thee, and you'll be blind for a season. And let the coppersmith run him out of a meeting. I guess he lost his power to smite man blind. Unless he lost his power to divine healing, God's turned against him. I don't think Demas went out into the world, because Demas is of a, you know his history, he was of a big, rich family, and he wanted to go with the rest of the crowd. But Paul, poor little Paul, what was it? God always lets a ministry get like that, and then crowns it. He let Jesus get to a place, look there, when he could raise the dead, when he could do anything he wanted to, and let a Roman soldier jerk beard out of his face and spit in his face. Hit him on it. Put a rag around his face and said, now, you know, they tell me you are a prophet. All of us sit around the region. Hit him on the head and said, now tell us which one hits you. He knows which one hit him.
Amen. Amen.
Sure he did.
Sure.
See? But his ministry is fixing to be crowned.
Amen.
It always gets that spot where it seems like it's real, real weak, just about gone. Then God crowns it. Oh, Lord. Let it happen.
Amen.
Let it happen, Lord. Let's bow our heads. I
love you.
Because he first
loved.
I worship him. We've had hard teaching. And first just my salvation on Calvary Street. Let's raise up our hands out here. Now be in the Spirit. I love him.